once you've identified some schools you want to apply to, then you have to deal with the application process. And all universities are going to have different kind of ways of doing it. Sometimes it'll be online. Sometimes the forms look a little bit different. But typically, they're going to be evaluating you on a number of criteria. And one thing I want to stress, that with the exception of some very large cohort-based master's programs, when they evaluate you, just because you are eligible, you've met the requirements of GPA and all that, doesn't mean they're necessarily going to accept you. This is where it's different than the undergraduate. The master's and PhD level, they're going to look to see what kind of fit there is between you and the program. You may be an A-plus student, you may have everything going for you, but if they don't have capacity for you, either they don't have anybody working in your area, or the people working in your area aren't free to supervise, they will turn you down. A, I don't make those decisions. It's made at the program level, and it's made on the basis of what the program can support. And that's again why you want to contact them in advance to find out whether it's even worth applying. But it's also good to apply to several programs. We always have more people applying than we can possibly take in. It may be you're a brilliant British historian, but maybe not quite as strong as 9 others that just happened to apply that year. Each year, programs will go through these very detailed scrutinies of applications. And no matter what university you apply to, the decision about your admission will be made by a committee of some sort at the program level. Once you've met the basic criteria, GPA and all the rest of that stuff, which is mandated by the university, the files are forwarded to the programs, they will go through it all, and then they will then make their decisions. They always have more eligible applications than they can admit, and that's when the tough decisions have to be made on their part. And again, they're going to be looking for all sorts of things. The fit between you and the program, their capacity to support you, all those things will be taken into account in those decisions. For the career-oriented ones, typically, again, there's going to be a committee that's going to be evaluating them. In this case, they may not be looking for whether there's a supervisor, because usually in a career-oriented one, there isn't necessity for a supervisor. But they, too, are going to get more applications than they have capacity for. So they're going to be looking at, you know, a number of factors like, you know, first of all, they'll look at who are the most qualified students. If it's a career program, they'll look at your career background. I mean, as a historian, somebody's previous career isn't normally relevant to me if I'm on one of these committees. You know, what stores you worked in isn't relevant. But if you're applying for an MBA, and most MBA programs actually require prior work experience, the nature of your work experience will become important because the curriculum of an MBA program is built around the professional experience and expertise you bring to it. But it'll still be a committee decision. Again, it's not as automatic as what you're used to when you're applying at the undergraduate program where the university says, we're going to take 2,000, and they'll say, they'll do some projections and say, our cutoff average is 81. So if you got 81 and you've got all the prerequisite courses, you're in. That's not the way it functions at the graduate level. There's a much more detailed scrutiny of you as an individual and how it fits in with the program. And again, it'll vary a little bit depending on whether it's career-oriented, course-based, or whether it's research-based. If it's research-based, they've got to make certain they've got a supervisor there to help supervise the work you want to do.